Okay, great. Brilliant to see you all here this morning, and what a great day. What a great day to be alive, to know that Jesus loves us, that we're part of his family, that whatever's kicking off in this world around us, with the instability and all that's going on that we read about and hear about and see on our news screens, actually, we're in a safe place, because we're under the shadow of his wing. And that's a beautiful thing and an amazing thing, and if we get that deeply rooted in us, it affects our outlook on life. It affects the atmosphere around us, so that when we walk into our workplaces, in our communities, and into our neighborhoods, we carry that sense of peace, that sense of well-being in God that affects the area around us. And I believe that's what God wants us to have in increasing measure, that we are influences for his kingdom here on earth. And as we focus this morning, you will remember, if you've been with us the last few months, we've been talking about the blessing of God in our lives and then living out the blessing of God. And I believe part of our living out is the way we live our lives in our world around us and the influence and the atmosphere that we carry as we do that. Of course, we talked to various aspects and various ways. And a couple of weeks ago, it was the end of May actually, that I put out a little challenge to us about thinking and praying to God and asking the Lord, you know, help us just in a very practical way. And I put a challenge out, you know, could we bless a couple of people a week in very practical ways? And, you know, sometimes that's a bit of a challenge. It's not always easy to bless people. Maybe it's going to cost a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, a little bit of finance sometimes. And maybe sometimes it's not readily received. And if you were with us a few weeks ago, I showed that video clip of Martin Lazell's wife, Emily, who she was talking about her husband, and he'd had this idea, or I think they'd had the idea between them, but he'd got the task of going to one of the supermarkets and offering to pay for somebody's shopping. What a wonderful thing. And but the challenge he had with that people were very wary about it, were a bit nervous about it, what's the catch, etc., etc. So it's not always easy to bless people. Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. But ultimately, as the story went on, he ended up blessing somebody. In fact, he ended up blessing a few people because of his heart and his attitude. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had Lauren. I don't know whether she's here this morning. Are you here, Lauren? She's not very... Oh, she's out there. Oh, okay. Lauren was telling us a couple of weeks ago how she felt off the back of that to... She'd been to one of those bun shops and bought a couple of ice buns and had one and felt that, you know, to give one away and endeavoured to try and do that on the bus. And various people were asked, would you like an ice bun? And it wasn't going ever so well, but ultimately the driver received it gratefully. And not only did she bless the driver, but the people that she'd been in conversation with as well. And so the various practical ways we've been thinking of blessing people in our activities, in our social actions, church, etc. But this morning I want to pick up on another way that I feel we have a responsibility to bless people. This is not instead of what we've just been talking about, but in addition to. And I believe there's a challenge on us as the people of God to, and maybe a call on our lives, to be a blessing to people around us with our prayers, to our nation at this time with our prayers. I think there's a call on us as a church and the church in the nation to pray for the nation, particularly at times such as this. So I want to think about that for a few minutes this morning. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And let's go to verse 13. And James begins to give some very practical instructions with regard to prayer. And he says this, verse 13, James 5, is any among you in trouble? You don't have to answer that this morning. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Could everybody say powerful and effective?
Powerful and effective.
And then it says Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. In that passage, James gives very clear examples of powerful prayer, very clear directions of how to go about prayer in particular instances. And it's headed, that little passage in many Bibles, particularly in the NIV, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. We've been singing some great songs this morning. First song we sang was We Believe. So any believers in here this morning? We believe that Jesus can do some of this. But as we come to the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and there's clear examples in Scripture that indicate that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that as we call on him according to some of these principles and live out, it does challenge me sometimes, particularly the one about people who are ill. You know, there's a clear example. If you're ill, ask for some prayer. As for the elders, we have a leadership team with that, calling on their lives. Call for prayer. Let's anoint you with oil and let's believe that we're going to see more healings. Anybody up for that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Then, of course, there are examples of prayer in Scripture that are incredibly effective in times of national challenge and disruption and even calamity. Not sure that applies today, of course. Maybe so. One example I want us to quickly read is in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 7. This is where, if you remember, David had been given the instructions of how to build the temple of God. But it was Solomon, his son, who was commissioned to do it. And we pick this up when Solomon had finished the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 11 to 15, it says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. When I shut the heavens, God said, so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Wow. My eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive, God says, to the prayers offered in this place. What an incredible promise. If my people, we all have a choice this morning. We have many choices. And one of the choices, are we going to be people who respond to the call of prayer on our lives as God's people? It's one of those conditional things, isn't it, when you read that passage. It's a conditional clause. There's a number of things connected to it that perhaps we'll just expand on for a few minutes. How many have got one of these smartphones, these apps? Smartphones with loads of apps on them, you know? And there's an app that's called IFTTT. Anybody got that one? No, it's only the really geeky people who've got that. I haven't got it. But one of my sons has. I won't tell you which one. But IFTTT. And it stands for if this, then that. If this, then that. And basically what it does, it connects apps together on your phone. It's really clever, but it's a right faff, in my humble opinion. So if you get an email, you can set emails up to automatically say to Dropbox and things like that. So if an email comes with an attachment, then it goes, you understand? So there's like a condition to it. Emails may come, you may get loads of emails, but it's only the emails with the attachments that get dropped into Dropbox. Some of you are looking at me, what is he on about? Not got a clue. Okay, let's just say, smart what? Smartphone, yeah, quite. Yeah, okay. Anybody got a brick? God says, you know, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And it's interesting that God says, in this place, there God was speaking to Solomon about a physical place, a temple. But now, how many of us know that we are now the temple of God? If my people now, us, will pray, then I'll hear from heaven. I have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. How many of you know blessing others is a bit of a sacrifice? Coming to prayer sometimes, consistent prayer, can be a bit of a sacrifice. Huh? Is it just me? So, if my people, and then he says, if my people will humble themselves. I think humbling ourselves, you know, we easily get a bit distracted about the word humble. We can often associate it with weakness, that if somebody's a humble person, they're never going to achieve a great lot, potentially. I think the Bible says something quite different in this context. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. God, get this. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to bless you and cause you to be a blessing in this world in which we live in the 21st century. Right here, right now. That's his heart. And it's as we humble ourselves, as we come before him and recognize that who he is, you know, he's the amazing God, the God of the universe, the great creator, but he loves us with this incredible love. And rather than wanting to put us down, he actually wants to lift us up. But it's only as we come in right humility, with a right heart, with a right understanding, that it's not my abilities, it's not my capabilities, but it's actually all in him. That as I surrender my life to him, then he can do something with it. Yes. We humble ourselves, and that is when we truly worship him. We're trusting him that whatever's going on in our lives, we are believing that he is the great provider and the sustainer for all that we stand in need of. Just look at Jesus, for example, and this whole thing of humility. Philippians 2, 8 tells us this about Jesus. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the will of the Father, to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. As we get our eyes on him, as we get our eyes on his purposes for our lives, as we surrender to that, then he's the one who will bless us, encourage us, and lift us up. And then he talks about prayer. He says, you know, if my people will humble themselves and pray. Pray for what? Pray for his intervention, his solutions, that his will be done in our lives and the lives of those around us, in our nation, even. Do you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is waiting to hear your words of prayer. You're looking at me, you're not sure. I want you to think back to creation, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was formless and empty. God was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that was it. Until God said, let there be light. And something happened. The light came. And over and over and over again in that Genesis passage, you find God speaking, and the Spirit of God in the midst of it all. You know, we often talk, don't we, about being people of Word and Spirit. And we think particularly the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture as we know it. And we think about the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and charismata. And you know, you can go to some sections of the church. In fact, I had an email about a question about this yesterday. Some sections of the church that would say, "Well, we are church of the word. We are a church of the word," and they're over here. And then you have another section of the church, and they say, "Oh, we're people of the spirit. We're over here." Do you know, I really feel somewhere here is the right place. Yeah. Word and spirit. And when the Word and the Spirit come together, powerful things happen. And I want us just to think about that. How about thinking that with our prayers? That the words, our prayers, in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, is a powerful thing. Listen again to what Paul says in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, give thanks, presenting your request to God. Why did Paul chuck in the middle of that thing about prayer? Why did he chuck in that bit about thanksgiving? I believe God has a habit of turning up when people praise him and worship him and give thanks. There's various comments and commentaries on Psalm 22, verse 3, I think it is, about God and the inhabitation of the praises of the people of God. But over and over again, when people worship, you think about the dedication of the temple in Solomon's day, God turns up. The atmosphere of the Spirit. And I love, and not everybody is wide like me, I understand that, I have to recognize that, but I love when we are praying that we have a worship intermingled with that as well. Because for me, it's so helpful. Now, that not everybody's wired that way, I understand that. But you can't all be all right, but never mind. Okay. So, pray with the Spirit, in an atmosphere of the Spirit. And then he says, to humble ourselves, to pray, and to seek his face. To seek his face. And this sort of infers, really, a persistence to our prayers, and to coming before God. Seeking an audience with the Lord himself. Coming again and again until an answer is given. Hugh gave me a bit of a story that's an example of this, and I'll read it out to you. And this is set almost 160 years ago, 1857. A 46-year-old man named Jeremiah Lamphere. He lived in New York City, and he loved God, he loved the Lord, but he didn't feel that he could do much for the Lord. Until he began to feel a burden for the lost of the city of New York. And he accepted an invitation from his church to be an inner city missionary. So not only to go to the other side into the world, but to actually work in his own locality. So in July 1857, 159 years ago, he started walking up and down the streets of New York, passing out tracts, talking to people about Jesus, but he wasn't having a great lot of success. Then God put on his heart, how about try praying? Try praying. So he printed up another bunch of flyers and he passed them out to anyone and everyone he met. He put up posters inviting people to a prayer meeting from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on a Wednesday. And this was going to be at the Dutch Reformed Church in New York. And he passed out hundreds of these things, put up loads of posters. Wednesday came, 12 noon, nobody showed up. What would you do? Jeremiah got on his knees and started praying. 30 minutes later, a number of people turned up. I think it was about five people walked in and started to pray. At the end of the hour, they decided they would do it again the next week. And the next week, actually 20 people turned up. They decided to do it again the next week, and 30 people turned up on the Wednesday lunchtime from 12 to 1. They felt they'd got a little bit of momentum. So they decided, what we're going to do, we're going to open the church 12 to 1 every day and open it for prayer. Before long, a few church ministers found out what was going on and decided to go and have a look and check it out. And their response was, we need to do this in our churches as well. Within 6 months, there were over 5,000 prayer groups meeting every day in New York. Soon the word spread over all the country and prayer meetings were started in Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, D.C. And even President Franklin Pierce started going to those lunchtime prayer meetings. By 1859, just 2 years later, 15,000 cities in America were having prayer meetings every day at noon, and thousands were being brought to Christ. Revival broke out. Now, the interesting thing about this revival, which is quite often different to many of revivals we think about in history, there was no great preacher recognized. No great evangelist. But there was a movement of prayer that ushered in something of a revival. God started the revival. And I think God is clear. You know, we often pray, don't we, and ask God, you know, for a change in our nation, for people to turn to Him. The question I've got for us, are we willing to do His will on ours? To bring something of a sacrifice? You know, under the guiding and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, yes. Which is what this guy Jeremiah did. Are we willing to seek His face, have a bit of persistence? You know, when at times it feels like perhaps we just ought to give up. Because at the end of the day, if revival's going to come, it's going to be all about Him. It's going to be all about Him. And the other thing, it seems to me, that part of this condition for God hearing from heaven and answering prayer is that the people of God turn from their wicked ways. It's not just about giving God lip service, is it? It's a matter of our heart, it's a matter of our motivations, it's a demonstration of, in how we live our lives before God. You know, Jesus spoke one day, didn't he, in Matthew 15, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are really far from me. I don't think we want to be like that. Let our lips reflect our hearts. Let our lips in prayer reflect our lives. When we get our hearts right, our motives right, our lives right, then God responds and hears from heaven. And he hears from heaven in this passage where he's speaking to Solomon in three ways. Firstly, one, he hears from heaven. This is when prayers become powerful and effective. This is where things begin to happen. Let me give you an example. I'm not sure it's a brilliant one, but it's an interesting one. Of the power of prayer. At the end of the Second World War, I think, was it 2 atomic bombs that were dropped? Thank you, the historians are nodding, so I think I'm right. On the 6th of August, I think it was the first one that got dropped on Hiroshima. Around 80,000 people were killed instantly. And a number over then, the following days. Absolutely horrendous. 80,000 people in one moment killed. That's power. But listen to this. In 2 Kings chapter 19, if you've been doing the daily readings that we put out on the email and on the sheets, you've probably just read about the Assyrians besieging Jerusalem under Sennacherib. And Hezekiah is king at the time. And the Assyrians were a massive army. And they were just annihilating anything and everything in their way. And they give this ultimatum to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah, it says, in 2 Kings 19, it says he humbled himself and he cried out to God on behalf of the people. In response, God sent an angel. And in one night, 185,000 people were killed. That's power. That's power. More than twice as powerful as that atomic bomb. And I think sometimes we lose the recognition of the power of, and the potential of our prayer. And somehow we think, oh, I'm not sure, is it just hitting the ceiling? But if we're coming to God in the right way, with the right heart, in the atmosphere of the Spirit, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. We sang a song this morning, "Thou art exalted above all the earth." God is in charge. God is over it all, whatever's kicking off in the nations of the world. At a national level, at an international level, but in local situations as well, with people that you know, God is in charge. We were reflecting just a few weeks ago about, you know, when Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12, but the church prayed. And supernaturally, another angel turns up. And Peter's released from prison. God hears from heaven. God is watching and listening from heaven to see what you and I are going to say. To listen to what you and I will bring to him. He responds as well by forgiving. He forgives. Maybe there are things that you've done, thought, or said, and you regret it. And you're carrying a bit of guilt with that. God wants to forgive you. He wants to free you of that associated guilt. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from doing things that we know are wrong, he will forgive us of our sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to pray in a moment, but what if the musicians would come back just to be ready to help us. Final thing. In that passage where God is speaking to Solomon, he heals the nation. How many of you think our nation could do with a bit of healing right now? Yes. There's a song written 30 years ago this year, 1986. Sadly, I remember it all too well. A great song, but I think it is so applicable today. Lord, we long for you to move in power. There's a hunger deep within our hearts to see healing in our nation. Send your spirit to revive us. Heal our nation. Pour out your spirit on our land, O God. And then this sense of expectation in the second verse where it says, Lord, we hear your spirit coming closer. Anybody hear anything in the spirit? Lord, we hear your spirit coming closer, a mighty wave to break upon our land, bringing justice and forgiveness. God, we cry to you. Lord, heal our nation. Heal our nation. I wonder if there's anybody here today who is ready to actively engage in some prayer. I know we prayed right at the very beginning of our time together, but anybody up for praying a little bit more right at the end of our time together? To pray and to bless maybe some people who are on our heart right now, who are challenged probably with sickness or difficulties or circumstances of life. Maybe there's people on your heart. Let's come before the Lord with the right heart and the right attitude with them this morning. And we're going to do that for a couple of moments, and then I'd like us to come before him for our nation again. Lord, would you, in your mercy, come on our nation again. Bless our nation again. Restore, revive, renew something of your purposes in our day and generation in 2016. Well, the song we sang this morning, all glory to God who is able. You know, you think about the nation, you go, my goodness, what a mess. But actually, our God is able to do something. Throughout history, God has affected nations, turned them around. Where they've gone far away from God, there's been total realignments back to God. You read through Kings, 2 Kings, and it's a bit of a, I shouldn't say this, But it can be a little bit of a chore sometimes, can't it, reading some passages of the Bible? But there's, you know, there's kings where they've gone far away from God. And then there are kings who are wholly following after the Lord. You know, and the nation is exalted because God does that with righteousness in a nation. He exalts a nation. And what about some righteousness being restored in 2016 in Britain, in this United Kingdom? Lord, let it be. But I wonder if we can stand together. And maybe just for a moment in our own thoughts, just acknowledge that we need his intervention, because as we come before him, we humble ourselves before him and recognize that, you know, in and of ourselves, with our gifts and our abilities, you know, it's going to take much more than that. And if we need to ask him for forgiveness over something in our lives today, why don't you just for a moment, let's just close our eyes, just put our focus on the Lord. Let's just offer those things to him today and ask him for forgiveness. My Jesus, just in your own thoughts, right here, right now. Lord God, acknowledging who he is, and if need be, asking for his forgiveness. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, we thank you for your word that encourages us that as we come to you and we respond as you challenge Solomon to respond, as we humble ourselves, as we come and we seek your face, as we pray, Lord, that you come. As we ask for forgiveness, Lord, you come and you deal with things in our lives. And I pray across this room this morning where those prayers are being offered, Lord, would you bring confirmation by your Spirit that those things are dealt with today in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in this place today. There's freedom in this place today. Freedom, complete freedom. Yes. As we put ourselves in your hands, the old is gone, the new has come. We're brand new creatures. Lord, we bless you and honor you. Yes. Jesus. God.